Knock, in a railway, the in a silly. You're listening to the award-winning podcast.
Hello, people and aliens of the universe. This is Alex of the award-winning podcast. I want to start this episode with a question. What is greatness? It's definitely a word that we throw around a lot in society. It's nearly impossible to delve into the murky waters of sports social media without seeing hot takes about who the greatest athlete of all time is. Take another look into the world of music and entertainment, and you'll see Laird, age 46, from Yonkers, shouting from the top of his all caps key that Def Leppard is the greatest band that ever existed. Greatness can be subjective in that way. Movie critics would like us lowly audience goers to believe their take on what makes a movie great is the only take that matters. But nobody needs Peter Travers to tell them that The Godfather is a great movie. Overrated as fuck, honestly. And Rotten Tomatoes aggregate critic scores are often wrong and stupid. I'm telling you, there is no universe where Jerry, a movie about Matt Damon and Casey Affleck walking around the fucking desert doing nothing for 2 hours, is better than the Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles first movie. Whatever your preconceived notions of the word greatness, I'm pleased to provide you all with an example of true greatness. The undisputed greatest movie ever made is Gremlins 2, The New Batch. The rest of this episode will be a detailed discussion of what makes this masterpiece of film accomplishment the GOAT.
Remember the last time? We told you not to feed them after midnight. We told you to keep them away from the light. And the most important warning of all, we told you to never, ever get them wet. You didn't listen.
They're mutating.
Sir, is the building on fire?
No, that's a false alarm.
Are you trying to panic New York City?
Absolutely not.
So the monsters are real?
I didn't say that.
Gremlins 2. The New Batch.
Now, was that civilized? No, clearly not. Fun, but in no sense civilized.
G2.
G2, baby!
All the way. The New Batch.
The New Batch, baby. We are here. Me is Alex.
And me, Jace.
We are here to talk about what I posit as the greatest movie ever made.
Oh, undeniably.
Gremlins 2, The New Batch. Now, you have just heard the trailer from the movie. This movie was released in 1990, which you can definitely tell based on that trailer. You know what my favorite aspect of that trailer is?
What?
The guy, the announcer dude, is like very accusatory. Like he's angry at you.
Yeah, you.
You specifically. We did this. Yeah. We fucked it up.
As the viewer. I've never even met a gremlin. I didn't feed one after midnight. I didn't get it wet. It's not my fault. Fucko.
It's pretty rude of him, honestly. Mm-hmm. The other thing I really love about it, you know, you didn't see it, you just listened to it, but it is at least the first 80% of it, you don't get any kind of glimpse into what this movie actually is going to be about.
No.
Like, it they kind of play it off as if it's going to be basically the same thing as the first one, where it's kind of, it's got those, you know, it's silly, but it's
elements
got the
of
horror.
Yeah.
This one is, like, you don't even need to have seen the original Gremlins.
Not at all.
To see this one.
It's basically Looney Tunes with Gremlins.
It's fucking fantastic.
Mm-hmm.
I cannot stress enough. This is the best movie you'll ever watch, period.
For unbridled entertainment, it cannot be beaten.
It is from beginning to end an absolute thrill ride. I took notes.
You took notes.
I have notes. That's the sound of notes.
That's a prepared man. We're professionals.
We are professionals, goddammit.
That's right.
So, let's just get right into it. If you've never seen the first Gremlins movie, just know that it's a movie where this guy stumbles into a very stereotypical Chinese man's magical shop.
Ancient Chinese secrets and wares.
Buys a new pet for his son, or for his the family, whatever. This little adorable fuzzy thing that they decide to call Gizmo,
known as a Magwai.
Magwai, however the hell you say it. But when they get the little fucker, there's rules, and the rules don't really make any sense, but. The rules are basically, don't feed them after midnight, don't get them wet, and sunlight will kill them. Or, like, any kind of really bright light hurts them.
Yeah.
But those rules are stupid.
Yeah.
And we'll get into that later.
And they're very, what's the word? Not a very good pet, really. I mean,
it's
not conventional in any way.
Right. And, you know, that's before we even start getting into time zones and everything. Yep. It is what it is. Anywho, the first movie is all about how they fuck up with those rules. Gizmo gets wet at some point, and when one of these things gets wet, they reproduce. They shoot little tiny fuzz balls out of their back.
They grow into
other little Mogwais. And then if they eat after midnight, they turn into green little monsters.
Yeah.
With sharp teeth and claws.
They look like an alligator and a koala bear had a baby. It's a perfect description.
It really is. And throughout the first movie, these things terrorize a small town, and people are getting killed left and right. It's kind of a dark-ass movie. Eventually they went out and, you know, all is well.
Fun fact, Gremlins, the first Gremlins movie is the reason there was talks of changing the movie rating system.
It's one of the...
It wasn't the first one to be rated PG-13, but it was what caused discussions of adding a new rating of PG-13.
Right.
And the first one rated PG-13 was what? Do you remember?
Oh, god damn it. Isn't it one of the Indiana Jones
it
movies?
It was. I don't remember which one. It was one.
Yeah, so it was violent, and it was deemed maybe a little too hardcore for kids. But, you know, they decided to make PG-13, which basically everyone knows now is if you're a kid, you have to go with your parents.
Yeah.
That's it. And even then, if it's PG-13, people generally don't give a shit.
Yeah, they're not going to check, like, they're not going to cut you in half and look for the rings and count your age.
Right.
And
yeah, people don't really give a damn. But we digress, because what we need to talk about... We'll talk about Gremlins 1. We'll say that everything works out. By the end of the movie, you know, the Gremlin situation is taken care of. They give Gizmo back to the Chinese guy, and that's it. Now, the second one, the sequel, the one we're talking about...
G2!
Was directed by the same guy, written by the same people, including Chris Columbus, who you
discovered
might
America.
He discovered America, and then he went on to direct Home Alone.
Mm.
Yeah. It even stars, you know, the majority of the main cast, Zach Galligan, or whatever his name is.
Who became nobody.
Who became nobody. He played Billy in the movie, the main character. His girlfriend, fiance, however that works, Kate Berenger, apparently is her name. But all we ever really refer to her as Phoebe Cates. I even have it in my notes.
Of Drop Dead Fred fame.
Of fucking Fast Times fame. She gets her boobs out in that movie.
Get your boobs out.
Alright. I even wrote down in my notes, Phoebe fucking Cates. Fucking being in all caps.
She, I don't like the short hair on her.
No, she doesn't look great in this movie, but still.
She's not made to look
great. Still.
Yeah.
She's,
It's because she's not wearing a red bikini.
Yeah, she's still... Man, she's still so hot. I don't care. But it also... It's chock full of people that you've definitely heard of or seen in other movies.
Yeah.
Most notably, Christopher Lee, who played Dracula back in the 70s, played Saruman in the Lord of the Rings movies, played Count Dooku in the Star Wars prequels. I mean, this guy, he's an established actor and, like, one of the best movie slash TV villains ever. Yeah. But he plays, like, a mad scientist in this one. Yeah. And, you know...
And the goofiest, best movie ever made.
This is the best movie ever made. So, just... We'll come right out of the gates and we'll start at the beginning. It starts off with a look into... this Chinese man's shop that's in New York, and he's in negotiations with this representative of a giant conglomerate called Clamp Industries or Corporation, whatever it is.
Right. They do TV and, you know, make products.
They do everything.
Yeah, they got their... He's basically Donald Trump.
Well...
Probably more successful.
Yeah, I was going to say someone who's actually successful.
Yeah.
Business. But yeah, he had his hand in, or they had their hands in everything.
He's someone who wants to put his name on everything.
And they're negotiating with this old Chinese dude who, again, like, it is a very stereotypical Chinese, like...
I mean, he looks like Confucius. He's got one, like, completely dead eye, and he's smoking a big, long pipe through the whole thing.
He even...
Probably opium.
He gives him some, like, parable or whatever, and the guy that he's negotiating with says something to the effect of, because the guy says the thing, and he's like, oh, is that Confucius or Bruce Lee? And I'm like, oh, that's very racist.
There's two Chinese people.
Right. And, yeah, it was pretty great. So they come, and when they come to make this pitch, they bring a full-size, like, 90s, 80s-style TV, like a big-ass boxy TV that takes, like, three people to carry it.
Uh-huh.
They bring it and a VCR to this Chinese magic shop.
Even the VCR requires a back brace of some sort because it's so heavy.
And then this Clamp guy is on video, and he's pitching why this Chinese dude should sell his shop to him. The Chinese guy says, I'm not going to do it.
He's the last holdout on the block.
Right. I'm not going to.
Major development. That doesn't matter. But.
So the corporate people are leaving, and the one guy turns to the other and says, doesn't matter. Did you hear that cough? He's going to be dead in like a week. And sure enough, like 6 weeks later, he's dead. And they waste no time. They just are immediately destroying this shop with heavy equipment and whatnot.
The guy's probably still in there.
His body probably is.
Yeah.
Gizmo definitely is.
Yeah, Gizmo is inside when they start knocking the place down. Gizmo gets fucked over the entire movie.
The entire movie. This adorable little puppet thing.
It makes you sad.
A lot. Dude, when I was a kid, it would traumatize me.
As a kid, I remember my little panda bear teddy bear thingy, and it looked remarkably similar to Gizmo. Not in color or anything, but just size. Gizmo basically looks like a Furby, if you don't know. But this thing, he's so cute. and he's getting tormented by this big, ugly, big for a gremlin, spiky, ugly monster thing. He ties him to a train track, toy train track, wrecks a train into him. Gizmo's like crying and shit. And as a kid, my heart bled for that.
I wanted blood. Mm-hmm. But one key aspect is they bring this TV in, and when the people leave, they leave the TV, and they're like, "Oh, you can have this," and immediately they start watching Rambo movies.
Gizmo is watching Rambo.
And Gizmo is enjoying the hell out of Rambo, and there's no way that'll come back later in the story.
Right, it's not foreshadowing.
There's no foreshadowing there at all. So from there we have the news report. That was the best part of it. Okay, so it was 6 weeks later.
Yeah, but there's thousands of best parts.
6 weeks later, the fucking news report is out that the Asian guy died for some reason. This is a news report.
Yeah.
This is just some guy.
Nobody even knows who he is.
Yeah, it was fucking weird. We get to this giant building. This almost kind of like, it's not the Sears Tower anymore, but the Willis Tower. This giant corporate building that's just, it's like a mall, and it's also like a science lab.
At some point, you see how high it is, and there's like planes passing the building. He's up in the clouds.
Oh, man. And then it's supposedly a smart building. So, like, everything is, you know, very technically advanced. There's a point where they're bragging about how technically advanced their new revolving door system is. And what's amazing there, like, this guy tries to use it. He shoves Phoebe Cates like a complete fucking asshole, trying to get into this building faster than she does.
Well, he's an important businessman.
Right. And then he goes into the revolving door, and it stops, and then it speeds way up, and then it launches him.
It fires him.
It's fucking phenomenal.
Yeah.
We're not even like 10 minutes into this movie yet.
Right. It's Looney Tunes. It's really Looney Tunes. It starts off with a Looney Tunes clip and ends with a Looney Tunes.
They're owned by Warner Brothers, which is the same people as Looney Tunes. And you will be made aware of that several times in this movie.
Yeah.
They do not fucking make any qualms. This is a movie, and it was made by the Warner Brothers. It's so meta, constantly breaking the fourth wall. Mm-hmm. And it
breaks the wall with fucking Hulk Hogan.
Hulkster. The Hulkster.
Yeah. Brother.
We'll get to that.
I'm just so excited to keep jumping out of place.
One of my notes was about how this Warner Brothers movie is very anti-corporation. Like, it's a giant, metaphor, yeah. I guess.
It holds a mirror up to the world of corporations.
But they're vehemently anti-corporation, which is hilarious because what is Warner Brothers if not one of the oldest corporations in Hollywood?
Oh, yeah.
You know? Like, they are Big Brother in a lot of ways. It's just, I don't know, I thought that juxtaposition was kind of funny. There's a part where Billy is in his office and he's getting chastised by the corporate goon from the Chinese shop scene.
Yeah, like, he's head like of security or whatever.
Right, head of security, whatever the hell he is. You know, the shady fucker. He's getting chastised by this guy because he has art and a potted plant at his desk. And he's like, "Oh, these need to be pre-approved." And so he's like, "You gotta take this down." It was pretty funny because he's an architect, I guess.
Yeah, that's his job.
It's to draw an artist.
He has drawings at his desk, and guy's like, "Nope,
none of this.
Can't have this."
Yeah. At some point, as the building's getting torn down, Gizmo manages to escape.
Thank God.
There's just some redheaded dude with a mustache says something to somebody off screen. I told you, if you want to find something weird, you gotta go out into the city. And he just grabs this creature that he's never seen. He has no idea what this thing is, but he just grabs it.
Yeah.
Cut later, they're in this laboratory. In this giant building. The laboratory is being headed by fucking Count Dooku.
Yeah, think Pinky and the Brain with this laboratory.
Yeah, it's very, like...
It's got one of those little electric ball things going zzz, zzz, zzz. Bunch of non-science shit.
There's monkeys in cages. They're bringing a cow in for God knows what.
All these little vials labeled with little pictures of, you know, bats or electricity, which are not going to come into play in the movie.
Not at all, man. Oh, that's one of my favorite moments is, he says, genetic sunblock.
Yeah. Because that's a thing.
Oh my God. No, so...
formulated specially for gingers. Which two of the scientists
are
gingers.
Yeah, two of the scientists are twin gingers.
So it makes sense that they would be working on a formula.
Do you remember the scene in Terminator 2 where the T-1000 comes in to that psych ward where Linda Hamilton's staying?
Yeah, Sarah Connor.
And fucking... the security guard gets up to get a coffee or whatever, and the T-1000 copies him, and he turns around and he gets stabbed
for
the eye.
That's the same guy.
Same dudes.
Yeah.
Twins.
Well, are they actually twins?
They're actually twins.
Okay, it's not camera trickery.
Yeah. T2 did that a couple of times, in fact. Did you know Linda Hamilton has a twin? Mm-mm. And so that scene at the end, where they're in, like, the steel factory, and the T-1000 mimics her voice and then mimics her.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, her sister is... the T-1000.
Wow.
Yeah, crazy.
So
right?
Something about sequels. We got G2 and T2.
Right.
Using
twins.
The same technique.
They gotta use them twins. Yeah. but, so, they're doing science stuff, which it's the most rudimentary, ridiculous science shit you could ever think of.
Cartoon but, science.
At the time I watched this movie, this is what I thought science was.
Yeah.
Like, 100%, I thought science was just, oh, we're just gonna take monkeys and we're gonna make them into bats or something. Yeah. I didn't know. I had no idea.
Yeah, it's basically blue Kool-Aid that that gives you bat DNA and allows you to grow wings.
It's fucking phenomenal. Anyway, they have Gizmo, and we see, oh! Tuco fucking Salamanca from Breaking Bad shows up.
And
he's
of Raising Hope.
And Raising Hope. Is he in that? I figured he was in that.
Oh, yeah.
Okay. He shows up, and he's a delivery guy, so he's bringing his, he's bringing something to them. Oh! They're constantly bringing in, like, diseases. There's a point in the movie, like, right around this scene where the receptionist at the science lab sneezes. She's got a cold, and she's, like, blowing her nose into a tissue. And Count Dooku says, let me get that tissue. And just, again...
Because they were supposed to have a flu sample being shipped to them that didn't come.
Right.
And she blows her nose into the tissue, and he's like, I'll take that.
He just grabs it from... He's not wearing any gloves!
No.
Nobody in this fucking science lab is wearing gloves!
No.
Not, like, they're apparently, they're just constantly
walking
with diseases.
This is the 90s, though. They didn't know about gloves in the 90s.
This is fucking amazing! Oh, shit. So,
as two people who are very much not scientists, we're able to poke holes in the, in the science of this.
Oh, man. I bet this is like Neil deGrasse Tyson's favorite movie. Mm-hmm.
God, it would be pain watching a movie with him.
Yeah, it would suck.
Oh, this isn't conceivable.
Well, that's not real. Fuck you, man. It's Star
Just
Wars.
Enjoy
Get a
it.
Dick. the reason we bring up Tuco is he comes back and he goes to Billy's office and he's whistling the same song that Gizmo hums or sings or whatever, and Billy recognizes it and says, where'd you hear that song? And the guy's like, I don't know, I must have heard it somewhere. And he's like, mm-mm. And he's like, oh, well, I think I heard it in the science lab. So he goes down to the science lab, causes a distraction, takes Gizmo, brings him back to his office, stores them in a fucking shelf or whatever, a drawer. Tries to hide them. You know, his full intention is he's gonna take Gizmo home, and that's that.
Yeah.
Well, it's
because he hasn't learned from G1 at all.
At all. And at some point, he has to leave. Oh, so Clamp, the CEO of Clamp Corp or whatever, shows up for a surprise office visit, and he takes a liking to one of Billy's architecture drawings, designs for, I don't know, this big Chinese building. And
they're working on like a Chinatown.
Yeah, they're gonna build a new Chinatown or some shit. And Billy has this whole thing set up, and Clamp's like, this is great, this is awesome. And like, that's the full extent of it. The whole scene with those two lasts about 45 seconds.
Yeah.
But his boss, Billy's boss, Marla, I think's her name.
Yeah, the redheaded lady.
Redheaded, sexy lady.
Oh, yeah. She talks like a real New Yorker.
New Yorker. Yeah, she takes this as a sign that he's moving up in the world and they need to fuck.
Yeah. Oh, you're best friends with Clamp now. So.
Yeah, you guys have an in, so we're going to have an in.
Yeah, even though she's his boss.
Right.
Somehow she thinks he's at a higher level.
So she says, you have to come to dinner with me tonight. You have to. There's this Canadian restaurant you're going to love. Like, what? Okay, cool.
Can I get you another Molson's?
So, fucking, what's his nuts?
Billy
decides he's gonna fucking go to dinner. So he's gonna have Phoebe Cates go pick up Gizmo and bring him home. Well, some problems arise. Gizmo is out of the drawer, just wandering around, being a shitheel.
Hmm.
When there's a janitor, and I just found this out, the guy playing the janitor was Gomez from the fucking Addams Family, the TV show.
Oh, okay.
And anyway, he goes to drink from this water fountain, and the water fountain starts shooting, like, extremely hard.
Mm-hmm.
Like, a fucking full-on blast. Yeah. And he goes to fix it, and it's getting worse.
Yeah.
It's just shooting. He's 20 bad. Feet.
He's bad at
janitor. He's very bad at janitoring.
Yeah.
And Gizmo's trying to hide from the water, and he hides under this table thing. The water hits the table, runs down, drips onto Gizmo. Oh, no!
Gizmo got wet, and Gizmo, that's the number one rule. Don't get them wet.
Don't get them wet. So he starts fucking going nuts.
Shooting out babies out of his bag. Other things,
and boom, it's on.
Now G2 is in full swing.
G2 is in full swing. The Gremlins is back.
Fork, yeah.
So out comes, like, what is it, four of them? There's the Mohawk guy.
Yeah.
There's the
that's
one.
Spike, isn't it?
Now, it just says Mohawk.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. So, Mohawk guy, some dude who...
some googly-eyed dude.
Yeah, just looks like an idiot. And then a couple others. Whatever.
Yeah.
They fuck Gizmo up and dump him down an air duct.
Yeah. And then, well, they lock him inside of an air vent.
Yeah.
They'll put the grate over him so it looks like he's in jail.
Okay, yeah,
and
yeah,
then
yeah.
Gizmo goes wandering around.
And yeah, and then he drops.
Meanwhile, the other gremlins are just fucking around. And the googly-eyed son of a bitch is the closest looking to Gizmo.
Like it,
and so Phoebe Cates...
Similar color,
yeah, similar coloring, but he's obviously not nearly as cute and he's, stupid
he's a
as hell.
Psychopath.
Yeah.
He's just...
All he does in the whole movie is...
The whole movie. Just that. And Phoebe Cates walks into the office, sees this guy just running amok with paint, just shooting shit everywhere. And she's like, oh, Gizmo. And at this point, I realized...
I'm going to take you home.
It was at this point that I realized that Phoebe Cates is a racist towards Mogwais. Like, how do you not tell that's not Gizmo?
Yeah, it couldn't be
further apart.
Fuck
Phoebe Cates. It's a very problematic movie.
Mm-hmm.
So she takes googly-eyed fucker home. Googly-eyed fucker can just absolutely runs amok in the apartment. Meanwhile, the other Mogwais are fucking shit up, and they're going down to, like, the food court of this giant mall building, and they're inside, like, the ice cream parlor, and one's, you know, feeding the soft serve down to the other one, and he's engorging himself, and then there's another, the Mohawk one's inside, like, all the M&Ms and shit, and people are freaking out. They're like, oh my god, it's rats! What? The fuck you mean rats?
They got some big rats in New York.
Those aren't, but they're not rats.
They stand up on their hinders.
They're fucking talking. They're saying words sometimes. Yeah. Every now and again, they're just like, yeah, ice cream. It was like, oh shit, if you ever heard a rat do that, you fucking run.
Yeah.
Get the hell out of there. So they start eating and having a good old time. And apparently, I don't know, I guess this is after midnight, I suppose? Because the next thing we see is them turning into the green... Well,
yeah.
They cocoon. They go. They find a space in, like, the basement or whatever, and then they cocoon into what looks like the alien eggs from the movie Alien.
Yeah.
And then they turn into the big green scaly fuckers.
From what I can tell, this movie takes place in the course of 2 days, and I'm guessing Gizmo gets wet, you know, sometime late evening, and then the other Mogwais, you know, venture out, start eating, presumably after midnight, because then they grow all green and scaly and whatnot.
Right.
And then the climax of the movie takes place during the next day when they try it. Well, I'm not going to jump ahead too far, but... Yeah, it's clear. Being daylight is integral to the plot.
Right. And meanwhile, you cut to this Canadian-themed restaurant where Mounties are serving, like, chocolate mousse, and it's like a... It's just a mousse head that's made out of chocolate.
Yeah.
And Marla, my note says, red-headed hussy is foot-jobbing Billy... in Canadian-themed restaurant. Because she is.
She's aggressively making a pass.
You see her take her foot and put it on his crotch and start rubbing.
This is a WB production.
Well, yeah. This is supposedly like a kid's movie.
Yeah.
But there's crotch rubbing happening.
Yeah, very closely related to Looney Tunes, and somebody is foot-jobbing another person.
Yep. It's pretty great. And I only masturbated to it like 3 times.
Last only?
Night. Only. Just, wow. You know, 3 times.
Amateur.
Yeah, right? And she kisses him and, you know, leaves like a lipstick thing that he doesn't... You know, he wants nothing to do with it. He's technically being sexually assaulted right now.
Right.
By his boss. So this is not a
and
good...
And later when Phoebe Cates sees the lipstick, she says something to the effect of, after all this... We're gonna have a talk because you're in trouble. So he's in trouble for being sexually assaulted.
Yeah, I have that in my notes. Billy was sexually harassed. Phoebe Cates is pissed at him for being victimized. And I said, hashtag me too. So everything's going haywire at this point. Billy tries to get back into the building once he gets home, realizes that the Mogwai they have is not fucking Gizmo.
Great. All it takes is a fucking second of inspection to realize this isn't Gizmo.
It's really obvious, Phoebe Cates.
Yeah.
So they decide to go back to the building so they can turn off the water main. And they've already established in this movie that this building is just nothing but cameras and watching shit. So this was a bad plan from the get-go. He shows up, breaks down the thing, tries to turn off the water main, and security shows up, and...
He's hassled.
He's hassled, you know. The security shows up, and then he gets attacked... The security guard gets attacked by the googly-eyed fucking gremlin, and that apparently doesn't matter.
What?
Because he's like, all right, well, you're the problem. And he grabs fucking Billy, and he takes him up to the, you know, corporate office, and they're like, you're going to jail. And then... Shit goes absolutely ballistic once the green gremlin starts showing up. There's so many wonderful moments in this movie. Yeah. How about, what was it, Microwaves with Marge? Yeah. There's a
And it's basically show. Just a show about a woman cooking food in the microwave, getting slowly drunk throughout the whole thing.
She's like, by the end of it, she's pouring booze into this thing. She's like, most people like to use a little bit. I like to use a lot. And she just...
For every bit of cooking sherry she adds to her recipe, you know, she has herself a glass. And by the end of it, she doesn't know what's going on.
What's happening? She's shit hammered.
Yeah.
Fucking amazing.
And as a kid, you don't pick up on that.
No, you don't.
As an adult, it's fucking hilarious.
She's slurring her words. It couldn't be more obvious. It's amazing. And she's cooking with microwaves. There's like five microwaves behind her.
That's all her kitchen is. It's just a row of microwaves.
But then she also has a big pot on a fucking stove.
What are you gonna...
For some reason.
Like, you gonna put that pot in the
You
microwave?
Are fucking up the whole thing, Marge. Mm. You're supposed to be cooking with microwaves. What's this pot?
I'm making a giant pot of stew.
The pot exists strictly so googly-eyed fucker can hide in there with spaghetti and pop out.
Yeah.
Scaring the hell out of her and everyone.
What? What's hiding?
Then the gremlins fucking fill up one of the microwaves with pots and pans. Boom! Big explosion.
Yeah.
It's great. It's... Fucking wonderful.
And at that point, the building is evacuated, and only our main cast is left.
Right. Yeah, and there's a point in which they're in, like, the main control room, and Billy has been explaining everything about these gremlins, of, like, what the rules are and all this stuff, and the people working in this main control room are just giving him shit, and you... They're basically supposed to be like an embodiment of the audience, you know, because even back in the 80s...
Talking shit on the rules.
Talking shit on the rules. Even back in the 80s.
Well, the one conversation they're having is, well, what if one is eating something and gets something stuck in their teeth at 11 o'clock and then they swallow it after midnight? Technically, he didn't eat that after midnight, so what happens? Yeah. And they're just, you know, poking holes in the plot like anybody at this
they're
point
talking
is
talking about
time
zones. He's like, well, what about time zones? And like, as soon as the guy gets done saying that, fucking Mohawk guy bursts through the fucking keyboard.
Through the instrument panel.
And just starts fucking this guy up and then knocks him out with a punch.
That was the funniest part, is the way he punched him. It was like, one of the little puppet things.
Yeah.
Like Michael Scott has in The Office. It's just this little... Yeah, and it knocks him clean out.
Oh, yeah, he's done. Out for the count. Billy finds this flashlight. It's the one time in the entire movie that these flashlights work.
Yeah.
And he fucking...
The whole row
It's
of
a super bright flashlight. Shoves it in the thing's face. He runs away. And from that point on, the whole rest of the movie, everyone's trying to stop these things.
Those flashlights, by the way, they're... The stupidest flashlight.
Oh, they're awful.
Take away the whole fact that they don't even fucking work. Yeah. But they're like these giant, pyramid, heavy, cumbersome, awkward to carry flashlights that make no sense whatsoever. I guess they're supposed to look like the building, but you don't really ever see it clearly enough to know that that's what's going on. Maybe they just don't know how to make a flashlight.
I don't think they don't know how to make anything.
They've never heard of something being ergonomic.
There's a point in which, okay, so the rich guy, Clamp, is in his office, and he's just, like, so rich that he's just bored out of his mind.
Yeah, he's up in the clouds with planes passing him by in his skyscraper, and he just doesn't know what to do.
He's just bored, and he's on the intercom with his receptionist out front, or his assistant, or whatever, and he's like, hey, Did you file this paperwork? Yeah. Did you shred all this paperwork? Yeah.
While she's in the middle of shredding.
Right, and she's shredding shit. And he says, all right, let's do memos. And he's all excited to do memos.
And he orders a Chinese town to have a celebration in his honor.
Yeah. And then, as the assistant is shredding paperwork, she's also eating a sandwich. And you see one of these gremlins reach up and put
a mouse trap
inside the sandwich. And she takes a bite while on the intercom. And then just, like, disappears.
Yeah, she's gone. Clint comes out to investigate, and she's just gone. Presumably ran off to deal with the mousetrap stuck to her tongue or something.
Oh, by this point, Marge, the microwaves with Marge thing,
yeah.
Whenever the explosion went off, the sprinklers went off.
Oh, okay.
And all the gremlins yeah. got wet.
That's
and
very that, important.
Yeah, and then all these gremlins just start spitting off gremlins left and right. Yeah,
now there's, like, hundreds
there's
of
gremlins.
There's
hundreds of gremlins in this building. And it's the one that's in Clamp's office, he comes outside to investigate what's going on. The gremlin is wearing her blazer.
And at her desk, click-clacking on the keyboard. And business, business, business.
And he's like, what the fuck? And he goes after it and, like, it disappears. And then it pops up out of nowhere and they start fighting. And he manages to force it into a paper shredder. And it green goops into
yeah, it just
thing.
Turns into goo.
And he's very not gross. Really phased by it.
Yeah. He says something whenever Billy comes up into the office at this point. Yeah, Billy's like, what happened? He's like, oh, nothing. I just hate operating these things by myself.
Yeah.
Yeah. Never looks mind. Like a pile of sick.
Yeah, it's pretty great. So from that point, there's a moment you see like all these TV studios and movie studios and stuff. Leonard Maltin, the film critic, is in some studio and he's pretending to be a part of some show called like Movie Cops or something. Mm-hmm. And he's bagging on Gremlins 1, the yeah. first movie, talking shit about it. Yeah. And out of nowhere, the gremlins show up and start fucking him up.
And he doesn't, he's a professional. He doesn't skip a beat.
No, he keeps going.
They take
then
him
they
down,
him.
And he's still talking about G1.
Yeah, it's pretty great. Then they get to the science lab, the gremlins do. And Count Dooku comes walking out, and he's like, what the fuck's going on out here? And all these gremlins are going crazy, and I believe it is Spike? No. There's just one gremlin. And he's holding one of the science juice vials.
Yeah.
And he comes up to him and he says the best line
oh
in the entire fucking movie. He says, huh? I can get you diseases. You'd like that, wouldn't you?
I can get you diseases. It's like he's viewing these gremlins as terrorists. But really, they're just a species that wants to spread and populate the Earth like we do.
Oh, it's fucking wonderful. So they all take turns drinking these science juice potions.
Yeah, each one has a different science juice.
And it's just oh, there is just a different colored science juice with a picture on the front, and you can tell what it is. The one drinks, it just...
It's a vial of electricity.
It's a vial of electricity somehow.
Liquid electricity.
Liquid electricity.
Which gives him the power to become a lightning bolt.
So lightning bolt gremlin does his business and takes off.
Disappears into like an outlet or something
right.
like that.
Right. And then there's the one gremlin drinks this thing that has like the two symbols for gender. And turns into, like, a very overtly sexual woman gremlin.
Yeah.
It's phenomenal. For some reason,
great
also,
ass
yeah,
on
oh,
this gremlin.
Great ass, great set of tits, big puffy lips. Just, honestly, this might be the sexiest movie I've ever seen. Like, it puts Body Heat to shame.
Yeah.
All right? I've never seen Body Heat. I don't know why that was the first movie.
I never even heard of Body Heat. I was thinking, like, Wild Things or something.
Wild Things. Yeah, I guess that's a good one, too. But G2 kicks its ass.
Oh, for sure.
Yeah, so they bring it in the science juice. There's the lady gremlin. There's the one gremlin drinks this thing that just has a picture of a brain. And all of a sudden, now he can talk like a... Like a vaguely British guy.
Yeah, and he grows glasses.
He pops
he
up.
Disappears
and he
disappears under this
just
desk.
Grows glasses.
And then he comes back up and he has glasses on. Because that's
like,
the symbol
I
of being
want
smart.
To talk about something.
Yeah.
He just starts talking.
Spewing on a monologue of smartness.
Yeah. The one gremlin starts eating these, like, genetically modified tomatoes.
Yeah.
And all of a sudden, now that gremlin's just made out of fucking vegetables.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Because at one point, they pull an olive off of his face
and put it in a martini.
This is a real movie, people. You can watch this.
There's a fucking... There's one that drinks bat juice and turns into, like, a bat gremlin.
Yeah, it grows wings.
And he busts out the... They hit him with that genetic sunblock. Yeah. They inject the genetic
sunblock. The smart guy. Sunblock. The smart gremlin.
Oh, genetic sunblock.
Yeah.
Yeah.
He says it so matter-of-factly, like, oh, this is something normal.
Oh, my God. What the hell was it that he said at one point? He says, we don't tan, we don't burn. And so he injects the bat gremlin with genetic sunblock. Which, by the way, there was enough there. Why the fuck isn't he injecting himself, too?
Right.
He should be injecting himself and everybody. They could all have genetic
sunblock, and then the climax of the movie would be a moot point.
Right.
It doesn't happen.
But... So, the bat gremlin flies through the wall.
No, that's not true, because they don't use the...
Right, well...
Okay,
right.
We'll get to that.
So, bat gremlin flies through the wall, and Warner Brothers pops up again, because there's the perfect symbol, the Batman symbol, from the Batman movie with Michael Keaton. Bat gremlin gets out, goes after the dude from the first movie, who's also in Small Soldiers.
Yeah.
The guy fights him. As this dude is fighting the fucking gremlin, the flying gremlin, people are walking behind him. They don't give a fuck.
They look and they're not concerned.
They don't give one fuck.
But this is New York, so.
Yeah, oh yeah, they've seen it all. It's like in the first Turtles movie when fucking Raphael's chasing after Casey Jones, gets hit by a car and fucking rolls off of it. And the guy in the taxi in the back seat's like, the hell was that? And the guy driving's like, it looked like a big turtle in an overcoat. You're going to LaGuardia, right? What? You're telling me that New Yorkers are so jaded that they just can't see a flying gremlin monster just thing?
Can't be bothered.
Oh, shit.
So, dude from Small Soldiers and from the first Gremlins movie is fighting the bat gremlin and... Luckily, he's right next to somebody pouring concrete.
Yeah.
So he throws this thing into the concrete, the mix, it's still wet, and starts dumping concrete on it. And this thing takes off, flies up to a, you know, perch on a building. And
on a church.
On a church.
On a church. And lands, and within seconds just dries, and is fully statue, and is now a gargoyle.
Yeah, that's how they're made.
That's how they're made. That's how you make gargoyles. Everyone knows that.
Yep.
Oh my god, I love this
movie. This movie's great.
I love this fucking movie. Okay, so we'll just kind of skip through some shit. Mohawk guy drinks spider science juice, and he becomes a spider, which is honestly really cool, but also like...
Yeah. It's hokey, but it's, you know...
It looks
cool. Visually appeasing.
It looks cool. Anyway... he fucks off and makes a bunch of spider webs somewhere. Meanwhile, while they're doing all this, Gizmo has had enough because he's been tortured by these fuckers for too long. He starts thinking about Rambo and he's training. There's a training montage where he's like lifting weights and shit.
Oh, yeah.
He comes out of nowhere.
Collecting supplies.
Fucking Spider Gremlin has the redhead and Phoebe Cates like in his sights. And they're tangled up in webs. And before Billy and the rest of the crew can come to the rescue, Gizmo shows up. And he's fashioned a bow and arrow from like a paperclip and a rubber band.
Yeah.
And he has a pencil as his arrow.
And a thing of whiteout.
There's whiteout that he lights on fire. It's like an exploding fucking arrow.
Yeah.
And he shoots it at this thing. And it catches fire, just massive fire, and it burns to death.
Yeah, so Mohawk Gremlin is no more.
Gone. And fucking Billy grabs a hold of Gizmo, and Phoebe Cates says, what happened to him? And he goes, well, I don't know. I guess they pushed him too far. Perfect.
Yep.
This is the best Rambo movie ever made.
Yeah. No, that's easy.
This movie's so chock full of shit that we haven't even gotten to the fact that they have a show that's host, like, the within this movie, there is a show that's being hosted by a guy dressed as a vampire who confesses to Billy that his dream has always been to be a newscaster. All this shit starts going down. He finds Long Duk Dong.
Yeah.
Long Duk Dong
was on a tour with Phoebe Cates, and he's just crazy with his camera. And so Vampire Guy recruits him to be his cameraman as
which
they
is
go
amazing.
Around and provide live feed to what's going on in the
it's
building.
It's amazing because when they first meet, he's scared of the vampire guy immediately.
He turns around, sees him, and he goes, oh! And dude has to explain that he's not a real vampire. That little subtle moment in the movie makes it. That's what this movie's about.
Oh, shit. The vampire guy has a talk show style interview with the smart fucking gremlin.
Mm-hmm.
The gremlin's explaining the motivations for the gremlins. And then this one stupid gremlin shows up out of nowhere. And he fucking pulls out a gun and shoots it.
No, was that civilized?
No.
The part's in the trailer.
It is. And then at some point, I don't remember what scene it is, but like they're arguing, Billy and the corporate stooge are arguing, and it just starts to cut out, like the fucking film grain just goes bad and it melts away.
Makes you think, if you're watching this in the theater,
you're supposed to think, oh shit, it just fucked up.
Yeah.
Well, then like you see like shadows of gremlins bouncing around and like they're doing shadow puppets and like. People walk out of this theater that's being filmed. They walk out, they go to the front lobby, and they start talking to the guy, the manager, or whatever, and they're like, this is bullshit. I paid money for this movie. This is so much worse than the first one.
Yeah.
And
guy says, we don't make the movies, we just show them.
And the guy's like, look, I'll take care of it. He goes into the theater, and he's like looking, searching for specifically somebody that you definitely see,
is
Hulk Hogan.
Yeah, the only person wearing like an orange wife beater, a yellow bandana.
It's a yellow wife beater and an orange red bandana.
Whatever.
And he just walks up to him and he says, Mr. Hogan, we could really use your help. And the guy's like, oh, yeah, I got you. And he stands up, and he starts, like, challenging the fucking
gremlins. He's hulking
out
on the gremlins, up in the projection.
You think you can hold, you think the gremsters can match up to the Hulkster? And he rips off his shirt.
Play this movie, and if there's any other...
He looks directly into the camera, and he says, sorry, folks, we'll get this movie back going, or something like that.
Won't
the movie's
again.
Back on. Just back on. And we're just supposed to move on from the fact that Hulk fucking Hogan just showed up. And they broke the fourth wall again.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, it's fantastic. I don't want to give away the ending, but there is there's a sequence where the brainy gremlin sings New York, New York. And it's amazing.
Yeah.
There's a whole dance number where they do this thing where they have like a bunch of tiles with the picture of the fucking lady gremlin, and she comes up through one of them as it opens up.
Yeah, dancing on it like a platform. And then there's a sexy scene with her and the corporate stooge, where she's just, you know, all over him, kissing on him and stuff, and he's running away, and you can hear her say, why won't you commit?
Oh, great. My God. Then there's just so much going on. Like, we could go on for a long time about this.
Yeah.
I'll try to keep it short.
Yeah, we're already coming up on an hour.
Oh, it's so worth it. This is the best movie of all time. So, all this chaos is happening. At one point, they trap the electric gremlin in the phone system.
Put him on the hold.
Put him on hold, and so he's freaking out, and the whole hold screen is hilarious. So the whole plan is they're gonna trick the gremlins by changing all the clocks in the office or in the building, and they're gonna think that it's nighttime, and they're gonna go outside, and they're gonna get hit by the sun. Well, a storm comes,
blocking out
very
the
suddenly,
sunlight.
Blocks out all the sunlight. So now that plan's fucked. So Billy decides, we're gonna go ahead and get them all wet, and we're gonna let loose the fucking electric gremlin.
I thought you were gonna give away the ending.
That's the ending.
Yeah. You screwed that up.
Yeah, spoiler alert. Spoiler alert for this movie.
I don't think anybody's going into this movie, you know, trying to keep the plot as... God damn it, I don't know why I start talking. I can't... I never know the word I'm looking for.
It's a 30-year-old movie. It was made in 1990.
Yeah.
Yeah, so it's old. If you haven't seen it by now, shame the hell on you.
What I'm trying to say is you don't watch this movie for the plot.
Yeah, no.
You watch it for mindless entertainment and a few giggles.
A lot of giggles. It was fucking hilarious. There's an elevator scene where all the fucking gremlins' hands are shooting through and grabbing on Phoebe Cates. There's so many old ass movie references. One of them being the original Phantom of the Opera.
Yeah.
Like, in the science lab, there's a vial of acid. It just says, "Danger, do not throw in face." One of the gremlins grabs it and throws it in another one's face immediately as soon as he sees it.
And then he pulls out his little Phantom of the Opera mask and they giggle about it.
And then they have the whole scene, like bit for bit from that movie, where the lady comes, you know, sneaking up on the Phantom while he's playing the organ, and he turns around, like she pulls off his mask, and he turns around and does the that whole thing. They do that bit for bit in this movie.
Bunch of movie references.
God, there's so many of them.
Man.
Casablanca.
Yeah.
There's a Casablanca reference.
None of the movie references are...
They're not going to land with
younger,
anybody.
Yeah, they're not any younger than like 10 years old. I mean, Rambo would be the
most recent one, obviously, at the time. But like everything else was like from the 40s and before.
Yeah.
It's phenomenal. My God, I love this fucking movie. Oh God! What was the? Let's see.
We do have to talk about the Key and Peele skit.
Yeah.
Oh my God.
Yeah. All right. So there's a Key and Peele skit where they basically break down this entire movie. You have to see it. I'll put up a link to it.
Right.
Let's see. What do we have? What do we have? Going through the notes here. Oh, one of the best scenes in the entire movie. There's a. The Clamp Corporation has a video prepared for the end of civilization. And it even starts off and says, "Because of the end of civilization, things are going bad. But it's okay. Yeah. Here's pictures of eagles and shit. And
squirrels.
Fucking amazing."
Yeah. Oh. And Clamp is crying. He's like, "Isn't it beautiful?"
Oh, shit! So there's a moment where Phoebe Cates tries to, like, bare her soul about... a time where she was like, she went to a fucking Lincoln Memorial or something like that.
She might have been raped by a Lincoln lookalike. She was possibly raped
by a Abe Lincoln lookalike.
And it just gets brushed off. And they just like,
whatever, bitch.
Now, there's no time of day for your stories, madam.
Oh, and then of course, you know, all is well, everything gets saved, and you cut to like the very last scene of the movie. There's, the corporate stooge guy, the head of security or whatever, he's trapped in one of the upper levels. Nobody can get to him.
After all the gremlins are gone.
All of them. Except
for the lady. Sexy one.
The lady gremlin is still there. She's still, like, he's got kiss marks all over his face.
Yeah, he's, like, tied up and shit.
He's like, is he tied up? He's not tied up. He's just trying to
backed
get away
in
from
a corner.
Her. And she comes out of nowhere. And she just keeps walking, inching toward him, and he's like,
kissy face.
No. And then like, then he does the face, the universal, fuck it, face.
Why not?
Fuck it. Huh. And he definitely 100% fucks that gremlin.
Oh yeah.
As any man should.
Yeah. If he didn't, I'd be upset.
So there it is. There's a lot we haven't technically covered still. I mean, there's just so much.
We're gonna leave room for you to go out and watch this movie.
The movie.
It's on HBO Max. Is that what we're watching?
Yeah, that's what we're watching on HBO Max. You can get that for free for the 7-day trial or whatever, and then you could shut it down or whatever.
That's the only reason.
That's the only one you need.
Yeah, if that's the only reason that you download HBO Max, then it is well worth it.
Yeah. I will fight anyone who says this isn't the best movie ever made.
No, come at me. I challenge you.
Okay, so there it is. That's our breakdown of...
G2, baby!
G2, baby! Thank you for listening. I know that everybody who listened to this listened to the entire hour's worth of G2 shit we were talking
about. Well, why wouldn't you?
Because why the fuck wouldn't you? So we do appreciate that. If you have any questions regarding Gremlins 2, The New Batch, hit me up. I'll be glad to talk Gremlins 2 all day, every day. It really is the greatest movie ever made, and that's a hill I'm willing to die on, for sure.
Yeah. And you can hit me up, but I will forward your questions to Alex, because I have more important shit to do.
I do not. I won't even pretend that I do. So, thanks for listening again. We'll go ahead and wrap this thing up. You have any final thoughts?
Not really. Just watch it.
My final thoughts are, I can get you diseases.
I can get you diseases.
Goodbye.
So many great quotable moments.
Bye.
Have you ever had a dream that you had, you want him to do you so much you could do anything?